what motivates us in our discipleship, and then we'll get the team up and they'll just share what they sense the Lord's purpose in them coming on IDT, what the Lord either did in them or through them, perhaps multiple things, and we'll hear a snapshot of what the Lord's been doing. But I wanted to start off with a passage that I actually read on our final day of IDT, just as we were leaving, which is the Great Commission. It says this, Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age." And one of the things as I've reflected on this passage that I've picked up here, it says, teach them to observe all that I've commanded you. I think often when we think about discipleship, following Jesus, being transformed more into his image, being an apprentice, walking the dust of the rabbi, these sorts of things, we don't often consider what drives us. And I think often we can feel a heaviness or a weight, like an unattainable goal. How can we ever become like Jesus Christ? And we put it almost a bit in the too hard basket. But I believe we need to be driven by a motivation of love, which is the greatest motivator, I believe, that we can find. He says here, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That can feel so heavy and so weighty. How can we measure up or attain or work towards that? The great news is that through the grace that is ours in Jesus Christ, God has enabled us to do that. I'll read briefly here in John, one of Jesus' reflections, which ties this in. He's saying this, he's been talking about the Holy Spirit, and then he says, this is John 14:21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So the one who not only receives the commandments of Christ, but does them, fulfills them, that is the measure of our love. And Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." And as you reflect on that, like, go back to that picture of Jesus washing our feet. As we receive what Jesus has done and the cleansing power of his work, just even cleansing one area of our body, our feet, let alone our minds, our hands, what we've seen with our eyes, the things that we've spoken with our lips, every part is cleansed in Christ. As we receive the blessing of that reality, it overflows out in a very natural love. And I remember Elwin Jones, a dear brother of mine, many of you will know him, he comes here from time to time from the Eltham campus. He highlighted this verse to me and I was like, just makes so much sense. This is from 1 John 5:3. "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments." That's how you define love. When someone proclaims, "I love the Lord," I'm like, great, let me look at your life. When I proclaim, "I love the Lord," I say, I look at my life. How am I keeping his commandments? But it says this, "This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome." Do you find it a burden? Something's going wrong. What's driving you? What's driving you? You've got to flip. We've got to flip and find that motivation of love. Because as we see Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, a love overflows out and drives us towards following him. And I just want to close with this. It's a really powerful couple of verses just in Song of Songs. And it's meditating on love. Chapter 8. Verse 6 and 7 says this. "Set me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is strong as death. Jealousy is fierce as the grave. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, he would be utterly despised." see the power that's in love. Many floods, many waters. You can be absolutely inundated in your life. But if you love and you're driven by a love that comes from something you've received first, that cannot be broken, cannot be undone, as it says in Romans, what can separate us from the love of God? Can many waters, can many floods, can the grave? No, there is a love that passes through all of that. And it brings us to a place of light, joy, and delight in being disciples of Jesus. So may that be your motivation. And when you find you're out, when you see that the commandments of God are burdensome, remember that. You're like, oh man, step back in line, got to walk in love. That's all it is. Don't beat yourself up. Oh, come on. No, it's all right. You just step here, bang, back online. Isn't that light? Isn't that delightful? I don't know. No one seems very excited, but I love being a Christian. I love following Jesus for that reason. There's no one else I can follow or be like or be a disciple of who I can have such an ease with. And that's why, I love following him. Well, what we're going to do is get the team up shortly, and we might work our way from right to left, my right. So we'll start with Bobby and then just work our way through, and you can hop up and share. And but before we do, I just wanted to share, honestly, there are people in Lakes Entrance and Bairnsdale who are like, where's Hurstbridge? I want to find it. I want to go there. Like, they're really curious to meet our church. And Lord willing, we'll see. I'm going to invite both Michael from Lakes and then John from Bairnsdale to come and preach here at some point late in the year. Hopefully they can bring a few people up. It's great. They say, the best thing about Melbourne is when you're driving away and it's in the rearview mirror. And so I said to them, you know what? We're in the northeast corner. There are people who are part of our church family, 20 acre blocks, farm. All you do, just sneak in the back and then you'll never feel like you came to Melbourne, and you can come and be with us. We would love that. And they're like, oh yeah. But you know what? This team, brothers and sisters, has gone forth, and they're, because of the testimony of how they've conducted themselves, how they've lived, they have, not that that was what we sought to do, but that there are people's hearts who've been won over for our church family, for this area, who want to know what is this Hurstbridge Campus of the Vine, what is this place? And they're like, so how many people gather? I'm like, oh, probably, similar amount to that's here on Sunday at your church. And it's been wonderful. When we gathered with the churches on the Sunday, so we went to small groups and growth groups, youth groups. You saw us doing the water slide. Still got a gash on my side from that. We were just sowing into the life of the church, and they just opened their hearts to us. We then opened ours to theirs, and it was such a deep connection on over and over. And then it just culminated at both churches in the Sunday gathering. And it was just I've never been to a church service at either of those churches. But it was like the church was just singing. I went to the toilet and there was a guy who was just singing out one of the songs that we've been singing during the service, in the men's, I'm like, he is filled up right now. I don't know who that was, but Lord bless what's happening. How many of you walk out and go singing in the men's after church service? That's what happened. There was just such a delight, such an overwhelming overflow. They just couldn't even hold it in. And that was at both locations. So it was such a delight. And one more thing I will share. Which is actually really important. At one point at Lake's Entrance, a lady came up to me. I think it was a lady, or maybe it was a man. I think it was a man. It was a lady or a man. This person came up to me and said, by a process of elimination, I met a lot of people, literally hundreds in the last 2 weeks. So there was a person who came up to me and they said, thank you so much for raising up these young people. And I said to them, you know what? I haven't raised them up. I'm harvesting. I'm putting this sickle. This is actually the fruit of the lives of your investment as parents. So thank you, parents, and be faithful to that. Young parents, speak to myself here, be inspired by what you see before you. There is a harvest that is happening, but there's also a continual raising up, and I saw how the Lord was raising up. So as parents, let us value that. There is such a crucial importance, which you will see the testimony of that. And I want to say that And it's wonderful. You know, while we're gone, you know, we're celebrating Adelaide, who's headed off to DTS in Wyoming. Like, and while we're down at Bairnsdale, we're bumping into Emma, who's down at Coolmatong. Like, there is a fruit that is coming in the lives of the people from this church. Glory to God. So, Bobby, come on up and share what you sense the Lord doing in and through you. What was his purpose in you being on IDT, as far as you could discern?
Oh, joy. I wasn't expecting to go first. Yeah, so it was a really, really, really good 2 weeks. Of just being with the group and being with the church there. And that was probably, there were lots of takeaways. That was one of the biggest takeaways, was just being with the churches there. And seeing how they're invested in how the pastors are invested in the lives of the church members, and also how the church as a whole was invested in the communities around them. And that's probably the part that really stuck out with me, is really both churches were very missional minded to the communities around them. And it was just exciting to see how all the church events were focused on reaching out. So we went on a Blokes on Bikes bike ride at Lakes Entrance, and it was really less than half of the people on the ride were from the church, and everyone else was just from the community, just coming along. And that, it was just great to see. And everyone from the church who was on the bike ride was really intentional about having conversations with others and reaching out. So it was exciting to see, and it was also very motivating. Walking away from that, what we can do as a church in the community around us. Probably the biggest takeaway for me personally, which was interesting to, it was definitely a growth throughout the 2 weeks. I didn't really kind of realize it was happening until towards the end. But we talked a lot, we read through Matthew for devotions in the mornings, and we talked, a lot of the parables had to do with being entrusted with something. And then later, the one who entrusted the servants would come back and ask for the return on investment. And that stuck with me, because I was kind of realizing as the weeks went on that God has entrusted me and each of us, that he's equipped me ever since I was a kid, and was continuing to equip me in the last 2 weeks. And I always used to think of those parables as meaning eternal life, the gospel, that we should be sharing the gospel. But I think I came to realize that it's a lot more than the gospel, that it's all the knowledge that God has been teaching us, all the experiences, all the blessings that we have in Christ, that he's entrusted with us, and that we need to, display and share with others, so that he can reap a harvest through us. So it was neat to see that, as the 2 weeks went on, I kind of realized that more and more, and I'm excited to see how God will use that, and how that'll shape out in the rest of my life. There was one more thing I was going to share that I'm blanking on. The church communities it was just a blessing to be a part of them. Even taking showers, it was really awkward. The first time you go and you're like, oh yeah, I'm here to use your shower. Please let me in. But everyone was just extremely welcoming, and they had completely opened up their homes and showers and gave us towels and soap and anything that we needed. And we got to play with their kids while we were waiting for our turn in the shower. So it's just really, really lovely to see hospitality in action with people that we've never met, never heard about. I never heard of Lakes Entrance or Bairnsdale before I left. So it's just really, really a blessing to see the hospitality that was shown to us. And a lot of the things that we saw in the church, it just kind of, at least for me, like, left me wondering, like, what can we do more here? Yeah, or in my life particularly. How can I be more hospitable to the people God has put in my life? Yeah, that was a little bit of what I learned. There's a lot, yeah. That's Zoe, I think.
There was quite a few things. The first one was I was really moved by their hunger for prayer. Like, there was quite a few mornings they would meet and, yeah, they'd just be praying all together and just joining in on that and just being with complete strangers but being united in the Spirit was just so powerful. And I think, yeah, it just grew a deep sense in me to hunger for more prayer together. Yeah, and just going, yeah, there's a need to just be praying more, I think. yeah, and then another amazing thing that happened was I met this lady on Sunday who is wanting to start a creative ministry at the church with mums and children. And she was just feeling a bit lost and didn't really know how to go about it. She was feeling quite defeated in other areas of her life, but I was able to pray with her and share my heart in, yeah, wanting to also start a creative ministry. And yeah, just sharing our life, like different, yeah, different things the Lord had been showing us, both individually and then being able to, yeah, come together and just pray about that. And Jemima was there as well praying for her. So yeah, that was really encouraging. Yeah, and then, yeah, just like Bobby was saying, like just waiting for showers, you know, and just, you know, waiting for your turn and hearing stories and just, yeah, being really encouraged by people's testimonies was just really uplifting. Yeah, that's what I had.
Yeah, it was a very good 2 weeks. It was a very full 2 weeks, which was wonderful. I really went into the 2 weeks quite tired already. And so it made it really challenging, especially the first week. But yeah, especially thank you so much for your prayers for us. Every time we heard about you guys, it was just really comforting for me. Like, God just, yeah, very comforted my spirit through that. And I know that it was working because, yeah, I was really able to see through that first, especially challenging week. Something we talked about in the parable of the sower the second week, about I'd always seen that as like different people and how they received the gospel. But Ollie really showed how it can also be how the soil in our own life and how we are receiving God's word into our own life. I hope I'm making sense here. And I realized in the challenge I was having, a lot of that was in the sessions we were having, just feeling challenged and being like anxious and worried about things, and realizing that that was me not accepting God's word into my life, and realizing how I've grown up in a Christian home. I know a lot of about the Bible, but realizing that there's a whole nother deeper understanding to it. And there are things that are murky in my understanding of the gospel and salvation and living in the Spirit. And just realizing that the Lord was really asking me, open up, let me teach you more, seek me more. And that was so wonderful to have in the devotions, especially because everyone was just so open, especially a few of us, to asking questions, not necessarily doubtful questions about whether God was real or not, but questions like, I don't actually really understand this. Like, what does this mean for me, this verse? Or, yeah. And so that was really encouraging to be in that group and just be able to, yeah, realize I do still have so many more questions that I need answered. And so that has really challenged me to go and continue to search and to read the word and understand it. I did write notes, so I should look at that. The other thing was, in the challenges, the things that we were asked to do that I was scared of doing. Really realizing that I could so easily come from a place of, oh, I'm tired. Why are they asking me to do this? I don't really want to do it. I'm scared. And I was writing to my mum one day, and she was like, just choose. You can choose to think, oh, this is something that someone's asking me to do, and I don't really want to do it. Or you can say, choose, this is something that Jesus is asking me to do, and will you do it for him? And it just changed everything massively in my heart. I thought, yes, I want to do it for Jesus. And it brought a lot more joy. Yeah. Joanna, thank you for praying.
Again, I wanted to reinstate, thank you everyone for praying for us and having us in your hearts. And when you're at home, you're reading our newsletter, that was really encouraging to see your replies and how people have us in heart and in mind. Something that also stood out to me was, I guess, how people were giving what they had as well. And why we worked as a team so well is because everyone was contributing and pouring into each other as well. I think that sometimes you may not have something to give to the ministry or something of value for people, but God has given us like different skills and different gifts, different blessings, whether, you know, like the people at Lakes Entrance or Burnsdale, it could be a house with showers, or it could be the gift of cooking and baking us a meal. Like, those things really go a long way. Sometimes we don't think that they have any value or that people won't see them as something of a blessing, but God can really use what we see as, yeah, invaluable, or that we feel not equipped to do something, and to really strengthen us and to be a blessing to one another. So, yeah, I'm really grateful for all the people that we met at Lakes Entrance in Burnsdale who were able to give what they had, whether it was wisdom, conversation, their house for showers. One lady actually runs a like adventure shop, so she lent us some bikes to do a bike ride. Some other people gave us kayaks to do kayaking on a Saturday. Yeah, and lots of other things. So yeah, those things we were all really grateful for. And sometimes we don't express them in the way that we should. We don't say thank you, I guess, as much as we would like to. But yeah, God knows, and in our hearts, we do thank them all a lot. And I thank this team as well for all of the things that they have done for us and each other, and for the people at Lakes and Burnsdale as well. They were all really grateful, I know, as well, to see young people giving their hearts to the Lord as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, so mine's actually pretty similar to that, in that, it was really the people that I met that stood out most, and seeing their heart for God, and just in, like, their contribution to the church. Like, we hear about the hands and feet, but we saw the fingers and toes, you know, the people not often, like, noticed. The guy who came in and did gardening every day at Lakes Entrance, and then, like, donated that to anybody who needed it. And all the, like, playgroup ladies that came and volunteered their time. In prayer, as we got to see, like, before playgroup or before church, that made big difference. I think I realized how important that is to invite God in to be working. It was actually something that Joanna reminded me of too during the time that she was noticing that we can sort of think that there's really big exciting things out there to do which are important, like missions, but like it's just as important to be obedient here and now if that's what God's calling us to, you know, to get involved with the church. So that was really cool. And it came out a little bit in one of Brett Mitchell's talks with us about discerning God's will for us. And one small part of that he brought out and which stuck out to me was we can think about really practical things, like, is this God's will for me? Is that, but he's told us a lot of his will for us just in the Bible, or like what we hear week to week at church, you know, how we can practically apply God's will for us to our lives. So I think just simple obedience is a takeaway from this IDT. Yeah.
I'm not going to share again. We're going to shortly hear from one of our team who's not here today. It's Ben. And you can have a look at the clip shortly and then guess where he was when he was filming this, where he's gone to be, where he will come back from. But what we'll do, I have it on my heart as well to open up after we've all finished sharing to anyone here who's been touched through the IDT, either a testimony of prayer, maybe you're sharing a house, living with someone, and you've seen an impact in their lives, yeah, to open up and just to celebrate and give thanks, because you may be seeing things that we haven't during this time. So, yeah, we'll now hear from Ben and go from there.
To visit, help out at goat farms, all kinds of things. It was a fantastic time.
Hello, yes, it's on. All right. For me, the IDT was a time of encouragement, probably mostly, and also a reminder of the important aspects of what it means to be a disciple. I felt very encouraged by two main things. First, being surrounded by other young adults who are willing to dig deeper and explore what Jesus means when he calls us to be his disciples. And secondly, like the others have shared, the openness of the Lakes Entrance Baptist Church. I was only there for the first week, so to welcome us into their own homes and church life. It was encouraging to see so many older Christians still so keen on reaching out to their community and witnessing in a steady, constant way. If they could still be so willing to share what Jesus has done in their life, then I guess we who are much younger can as well. That sort of leads into how I was challenged through IDT. Leading up to the week away, I was sort of preparing myself for uni and specifically what I was going to do differently this year from last year. And the main thing was to be a bit more open with my faith or at least bring up bigger life questions to hear where my classmates were at. And then on the IDT during Pastor Michael's session, he encouraged us to write a list of people we could disciple and evangelize. He gave us a moment to reflect, and during that, I could not really think of anyone who I felt ready to share with. And I guess that sort of stems from my not having too many friends who are not Christians. So I have plenty of good acquaintances, but I probably wouldn't share deeply with them. So that gave me cause to think about how I could either deepen those relationships or risk feeling uncomfortable by sharing Jesus or discussing life's bigger questions with someone I don't know so well. So the IDT encouraged me to be a bit more open with my faith, like our older brothers and sisters were doing at Lake Entrance. Yeah.
Thank you. I also wrote notes for that so I don't overshare. thank you again for your prayers. I know you've heard it a lot, but it meant so much to us. We went wanting to bless, and we came back, I think, just feeling like we'd been blessed so much. We did a lot of activities that you've heard about and different sessions with Ollie or with other pastors that came along. One session that really stood out to me was the unpacking of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, which is in the start of Mark. And Ollie sent us off to find passages or verses in scripture that unpacked how all of Jesus' life, so his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension, is the gospel or good news for us. For example, the fact that Jesus fulfilled prophecies as a baby that were outside of his control is assurance to us that God will continue to meet and fulfill his promises for us. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16:7 that unless he went away, the Holy Spirit would not come. But if he did go, he would send us the Holy Spirit. So the fact that he ascended meant that he could send the Holy Spirit. And as we studied, I was really amazed at how I often just thought about the gospel or limited it to Jesus' death and payment for my sin, which is vital, a vital part of it. But also knowing that he sent us the Holy Spirit is so encouraging for us as we live here. So I've always been excited to share with others that they can have their sins forgiven and that they can be saved and they can have an eternal hope. But I was just amazed. I think, firstly to apply it to my own life of just thinking, wow, this just makes me so hungry to go looking for scriptures that just affirm or talk about who Jesus is and how his life impacts us and how he wants us to live now and that he's given us the Holy Spirit to enable us to live the life he wants us to live now as well. And likewise, I suddenly had this new, fresh desire in me to share with other people not just about the hope of eternal hope, but the hope that we have now that Jesus can transform lives and he can save you from addiction and he can free you from the power of sin, and that's like right now. I'm just really excited, really hungry to learn more and keep digging in, and just to be able to share this good news with other people.
I didn't write notes, so we'll just be winging it this morning. One thing that really encouraged me during IDT was just, and challenged me, was just how interested and inquisitive the rest of the group was. That was really valuable for me. I didn't really want to go to begin with. I was pretty hesitant, feeling a little bit of dread thinking about it. And I think now, in retrospect, I think that was because I'd been spending so much of my time beforehand avoiding questions that I had because I was maybe afraid that God wouldn't survive the process. What I found was that as we kind of dug into really tough questions and asked things to Ollie and the rest of the team that I didn't really understand, I was able to grow in that and actually felt my faith being strengthened through the process instead of broken down. And it wasn't easy a lot of the time. It was very difficult to realize some of these gaps in my faith and my understanding. Even through those trials, God will produce the strengthening of our faith. So that was really valuable for me. But that's about it, I think.
Couldn't have stretched it out a little longer, Justin, so that I didn't have to get up. Yeah, honestly, I'll ditto again the thanks for prayer. I know we all really appreciated that all of you guys interceded to the all-powerful God that we serve on our behalf. Because that's what you're doing. When you're praying for someone, you're asking for the one who created the universe to reach into our lives and move. And he definitely did that, so thank you. For me, I'll follow the trend of one encouragement and one thing that was a bit tougher. For me, the big encouragement was just, I guess, getting to know everyone better, becoming a part of a group. It's not so much a face I see at Sunday, it was now, hey, these are people that I have cooked meals with, woken up in the morning, walked two steps out of the room, and oh, g'day. And I've figured out what Ollie's PJs look like now. So, it was a great time getting to know everyone a lot better and to see Christ at work in everyone else's life. It was really good. For the challenging one, I'll be honest, I shared it at Lake's Entrance when I was giving the sermon, and terrifying then, and it's terrifying now. But I'd gotten a pretty good smack upside the head from God. So first couple of days in our small groups, we were sharing what was between ourselves, and I'd chucked in a bit every now, well, actually probably more than a bit. Then on the Wednesday, when the blokes on bikes was happening, Ollie and I stayed behind so I could work on the sermon. And as we're working through all this, everything for the sermon, God just chucked a little question in my mind. I've had knowledge about God poured into my life, as far back as I can remember. My mum and dad did an awesome job of making sure we had Colin Buchanan and other good Christian stuff growing up. My schools in PNG we had Bible class every day. So I had a lot of head knowledge. I think a little bit of trickled down to heart knowledge, but God put the question in my mind, are you seeking more knowledge to know me better, or so that you can have the perfect answer when someone asks something? And I'll be honest, the sting for that whack upside the head is still there a bit, still pretty fresh. It really made me stop and think, how much of this is feeding my pride, and how much am I genuinely trying to use to build up my brothers and sisters in Christ? As the whole team can attest, I've chucked out a fair few quotes, especially from C.S. Lewis. And at the end, a couple of them asked for books that I'd read listened through on audiobook that were pretty good. And I ended up giving each of them about a half hour to an hour long run through. As the week went on, I had to really ask God every time, God, don't let me speak unless it'll build up my brothers and sisters and not my pride. And even in sharing that, I'm honestly scared that might be me trying to build up my pride again. Realizing how deep my sin of pride went, and then on the flip side, the amazing joy that God gave me in realizing that I was forgiven, realizing that he can take even someone with mixed motives and purify them. That was really encouraging for me. And in our second week, we'd done a section where Ollie had brought up, we are dead to sin. It does not have any hold on us anymore. The strings are completely cut from sin. But we still battle with the flesh. The spirit of the flesh is still in us that we have to fight against. But we can also go to God, who has his spirit poured into us, and his spirit can overcome the power of the flesh. That's my little ramble. I should have had notes so I didn't run over.
Thank you, Josh. Why don't we give him a hand? What I'll do shortly is just invite anyone here who's been impacted by the IDT. If you've been encouraged, built up, love to hear one or two people just come and share. But just to paint a bit more of a picture. So we lived inside the church buildings. There was a photo there at Lake's entrance with the preacher's pulpit, and next to it was a whole bunch of beds laid out with sleeping bags and stuff. And it was actually, Josh was stringing up some twine to hang our towels out and was saying, sort of feels a bit sacrilegious doing this, but in the sanctuary. But it was great just doing that. And that meant that we had to find places for showers, hence why we were going out and knocking on doors that were already prepared. I remember the first one I rocked up, I think it was with Bobby and Zach maybe, yeah. And we get out and this lady's standing up at the door and she says, "Hi, smelly people, come on in." I was like, "Yep, I'm the smelly person. I'm coming in for a shower." Like, that's me. And we were often just saying how that was such a ministry, not only to us, but all the people who were in our proximity. Then we just spent the day, we worked our way through two chapters a day of Matthew, which is really, really rich. And then had sort of sessions, either myself, Stephen shared some, we had Brett and some of the local pastors, and then we just embedded into their small groups and things that were happening in the life of the church. So, nutshell of what happened. We tried to have an off day, which was also often packed with rope swings and all sorts of bits and pieces, kayaking, bike rides and stuff. So, I've also been reflecting. I think the greatest fruit, from the IDT is yet to come. And it's going to come, we're going to be blessed by it in the life of our church as we continue to see each one of these people, myself included. I've been impacted and changed during the IDT, and I'm very grateful to the Lord for that. But I think the fruit is still going to come from this time. Glory to God. Anyone like to share a way that they've been encouraged or challenged or stretched through the IDT, even without something that, yeah, Mitch, come on up. Mitch and Liz came and visited us on Saturday at Bairnsdale, which is great.
Yeah, that's right. We dropped down to Bairnsdale to say hi to the IDT team. And first thing we noticed when we turned up is that everyone looked like zombies. They were so tired. And that was just, I was kind of rocking up and going, oh, gee, these guys have really been doing a lot. And that was just immensely encouraging because having lived down in the community in Bairnsdale, having some time to understand the needs that are going on down there, to see these guys going, it's a long way, going all the way down there and actually engaging with the needs of that community that I'm very well aware of and seeing that, hey, these people actually care and that they're coming out to rural places and doing that sort of stuff was really massively encouraging. And also, like what Justin was saying, you know, the apprehension about perhaps going there in the first place, it does take quite a step to go out on something like this for 2 weeks. And for me, coming down and seeing people, you know, around my age really, you know, taking that seriously and going for that was just, and then at the end of it looking completely just stuffed because they were all so tired, and seeing that's actually just such a testament to God's work in their lives and character. And that just really, I went away from that feeling really encouraged and really blessed by that. So yeah, no, good on you guys. It was really good.
Thanks, Mitch. That's great. It's great to have people visiting. Yeah, come on down, Helen. For those of you who don't know, this is Justin's mum. She's probably never been introduced like that before.
I was going to remain anonymous, but anyway. I love you, Justin. I just want to say that I think it was a very bold thing that you did here, Ollie, and I appreciate it as a parent, but I think that we all feel like life is too busy to take 2 weeks and to go and do something like this. It was quite audacious. You said, I'm going to invite these people, and you kind of expected that they would come, and they did, but they had to put work aside. They had to be getting ready for uni this year. Who knows? Everybody's lives are very full, but I think it was so worth it. And you know, life is just going to keep being busy. If you don't take that 2 weeks and make it something special, it'll never happen. So bless you and Doiny for making it happen.
Thank you, Helen. That's very encouraging. One more, if you'd like to. Don't feel that you have to. Luke, come on down. I can hand you a microphone and you can pass me a couple of kids if you want. Or you hand one off and hold the other. Here you are, brother.
Thanks, brother. Yeah, it's just been just reflecting. It's been an absolute privilege, and I want to thank you guys also for praying for us. I'm sure you were. And yeah, it's just this aspect and this reflection on prayer and how the Lord is deepening us and revealing just how important prayer is and how powerful it is. And yeah, so the last couple of weeks, our house has been saturated in a house of prayer. It's been a blessing. And why? Because we're given opportunity. Yeah? And I think that's the greatest thing that the Lord's revealing to us through this, through IDT. It was an opportunity, yeah, for young people to go and learn their gifts, to serve God. We were given an opportunity to connect and pray on their behalf. And people in our body stepped up to meet the needs where we're needed as well. So yeah, a real joy, an opportunity just to pray, and this the depth of prayer through our family, from our boys praying for IDT, for myself personally, for myself and my wife praying, and also for the life group that I lead praying as well. So it really did permeate every area of our house. So yeah, it was a joy. So thank you.
Praise the Lord. What a sweet fragrance. While we were there, the churches were saying, so when are you coming next time? They're already keen for more. So yeah, Lord willing, this won't be the last one. We'll probably do it on a needs basis, but already I can see that there's a need for another, in that there are several people who said, oh, I'd be keen to come, but can't because of something else they'd already committed to. So yeah, we'll keep that conversation going, and maybe this time next year, yeah, look into another one. What would be fitting now is to give thanks to God together. So why don't we all stand up? And I'm going to ask the IDT team just to scatter around. Some of you go up the back, some of you on this side. And pray in twos and threes together, giving thanks for what God has done and praying into what is yet to come as we continue to look and serve the Lord faithfully. So scatter around. Scatter, scatter, scatter. Lovely. And then pray, and I'll come up and pray to close shortly. Heavenly Father, we want to uplift your name, and to you alone belong the glory and the praise and the honor. For there is no one else here who we are saying we follow other than Jesus Christ. And therefore, all the glory is due to your name, because you are the one who was born, who lived, who humbled himself to death, even death on the cross. And therefore, because of that, you raised to new life. And not only that, you took him and seated him above every throne, every kingdom, every authority. As is right, he is named the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, you are working to bring everything in submission unto Jesus Christ. And we thank you for that, because that is the most, the place of greatest blessing. That is life and life to the full, in submission, in a loving, delighted submission, because outside of Christ, there is only death, sin, and destruction. But in him, there is life and life to the full, Lord. So may we, as your disciples, filled with your love, draw into that place of loving submission under your lordship, under your kingship, that your kingdom may come, Lord, here on earth as it is in heaven, through in our lives, Lord, and then through our lives. And Father, we ask that you would transform us as a church, not individually, but as a church, Lord, that we would look more and more beyond the four walls, Lord. We're going to walk out the doors of this building and we'll be seeing cars driving past backwards and forwards, Lord. We're going to see people walking around, strolling the streets, and on a Sunday, the last thing that is on their mind or even thinking about is gathering with other believers, Lord. And so we ask, Father, that you would change us to bring the gospel in love and in power, in action, in word and deed, with a demonstration of the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that people would see and know you, and they would desire to become to that place of submission, Father, under your lordship. Because whether they do it in this life or the next, it will come. But it is far better for them as it is for us to do it in this life. So we thank you for that, Lord. Again, all the glory and the honor is yours. Amen. Amen. Grab a seat, unless you're in the band, and come on up the front. The Kennedys were getting so excited there.